Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. But first, we have a big announcement to make.
A big announcement to make.
This channel is no longer going to be All Time Conspiracies.
What?
Henceforth, Whoa. We shall be uncovered.
Yes.
For all the world to see.
Exactly. A decision that we haven't taken lightly.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the long and short of it is that YouTube, as you guys probably well know, aren't too fond of conspiracy-related topics. Now, I think that we're pretty balanced, and I know you guys tend to feel the same way, that we kind of cover topics in a fairly balanced way, show the pros and cons of each theory. But having conspiracies in our name does, unfortunately, affect us quite significantly, or appears to. So that's the reason that we're changing our name. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you guys don't mind. And secondly, hopefully it will have a positive increase in getting new people to see our content. Yeah. And you guys to see our content as well.
And before you worry about the type of content that we make, the type of content isn't going to change. We think that we're being affected because we've got conspiracies in the name of the channel. But the actual content isn't going to be affected. So it's still us, still doing the same stuff. It's just the name's going to be changing.
But that's a conversation for another time.
Exactly.
But as I may have mentioned, I'm Robin, and today I'll be bringing a news item to discuss with you guys. Hopefully an interesting one.
Yeah.
Alex, you have a longer legacy piece for us.
I do. I've got a very interesting historical mystery that I want to regale you both with.
Okay.
From Scotland.
Oh, really?
Scotland!
Yeah, exactly.
And Martin will be bringing
I've got the quiz.
The weekly quiz.
The quiz, and also I've got the Patreon episode story as well after this podcast. So if you haven't signed up to our Patreon and want to get 4 extra mini podcast episodes a month for $1... A month, which is kind of insane.
Pretty good.
You can do that by clicking a link that might appear on screen now. Might not. We'll see. So yes, Alex, legacy piece.
Yes.
What have you got for us?
Okay, so today I want to explore one of the strangest, most chilling, and absolutely bizarre stories in Scottish history.
It's a big statement.
Ooh.
It's a big statement. And actually, I only really looked into this one. There might be stranger ones. So don't take that as fact.
But tell you what, though, I could do with something chilling right now because it is so hot.
It is so hot. Man. What's it at the moment? 38 degrees or something
crazy like
something
that.
Mad. And we don't have air conditioning in the bunker either. So.
No, luckily, I don't think we're filming in 4K, are we?
No, that'd be unpleasant, wouldn't it, for all our viewers?
The many things about this case, of all the things, the weather is pretty cold. As we discuss the mysterious disappearance of the Flannan Isle lighthouse workers.
Ooh.
Have you ever heard of this one either?
No.
Okay.
Coming in with no information on this.
This is good.
Well, in that case then, I'd like to set the tone for this story by reading an abridged version of Wilfred Wilson Gibson's 1912 poem. And it's an abridged version, so it's just just a quick poem about the incidents that took place in 1900.
Okay.
Though three men dwell on Flannan Isle to keep the lamp alight, as we steered under the lee, we caught no glimmer through the night. We listened, but we only heard the feeble cheeping of a bird that starved upon its perch. And listening still, without a word, we set about our hopeless search. Aye, though we hunted high and low, and hunted everywhere, of the three men's fate we found no trace of any kind in any place. But a door ajar and an untouched meal and an overtoppled chair. We seemed to stand for an endless while, though still no word was said. Three men alive on Flannan Isle, who thought on three men dead. So this is a story about three men who were lighthouse workers on an island called Elian Moor in the Flannan Isles, and they disappeared without a trace.
Okay.
So in December 1900, a boat called Hesperus set sail for the island of Elian Moor, one of the seven islets, also known as one of the seven hunters of the Flannan Isles. That's so the cool. Flannan Isles are set up of seven different tiny, tiny small islands off the coast of northwest Scotland. Captain James Harvey was tasked with delivering a relief lighthouse keeper as part of a regular rotation. So these people are on rotation at the island.
Only fair.
Otherwise, a bit isolated.
Their journey was delayed a few days by bad weather, and when Harvey and his crew finally arrived on the 26th of December, day after Christmas, it was clear that something was awry. None of the normal preparations at the landing dock had been made. The flagstaff was bare, so there was no flag flying, and none of the keepers came to greet the boat. The keepers, as it turned out, weren't on the island at all. All three of them had vanished. So the person who was meant to be taking over, his name was Joseph Moore, who was the person that was meant to be replacing one of the three. He went to shore alone, which, you know, why would you do that, first of all? Just on your own.
He went to the shore alone.
Yeah.
So did he moor up?
Hey.
Get out. These people died, Martin. So.
Or did they?
Or did they, exactly.
Yeah.
He found the entrance gate to the compound and the main door both closed. Inside, the beds were unmade, but the clock was stopped. He returned to the ship with grim news, before returning to the lighthouse with a second mate and a seaman. A further search revealed that the lamps had been cleaned and refilled. Ooh. An oilskin coat was found, suggesting that one of the keepers had left the lighthouse without it. Ooh. Which was surprising, considering the severity of the weather on the date of the last entry in the loghouse book. In the lighthouse book, sorry. In the log book. And the only sign of anything amiss in the lighthouse was an overturned chair by the kitchen table.
Ooh.
There was no sign of any of the three keepers. Thomas Marshall, James Ducat, and Donald MacArthur, they were all gone.
Ooh.
So there were several peculiarities with what the investigators who came to the island found. Mm. Firstly, why would one of the keepers have gone out without his coat? Why would they do that? And for that matter, why would all three of them leave the lighthouse at all when the rules forbade it? Obviously, because, you know, that's their one job to make sure that the lighthouse is going. So passing ships don't crash into the island.
And if the weather's bad, you wouldn't want to risk it, really, would you?
Well, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
So,
one of them had to remain in the lighthouse at all times. So that suggested that something unusual must have drawn them all out from the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Secondly, the logbook provided a new set of confounding details. So on December 12th, an entry from Thomas Marshall described severe winds, the likes of which I have never seen before in 20 years. He wrote that Ducat had been quiet and MacArthur had been crying, which would have been kind of odd, which seemed apparently from the people that knew them, out of place behavior for these men. Mm. You know, they're quite stern, seafaring men. They didn't behave that way. And the next day, Marshall reported more storm details and wrote that all three of them had been praying, which was another bit of odd behavior, that apparently, according to people that knew them, you know, they didn't really pray. So they must have been scared, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Possibly. And also this was a brand new, apparently safe lighthouse. This was only made a couple of years before this incident.
Oh, right.
So it was brand new. There was no wear and tear on it. And then the strangest of all, this is weird, there were no reported storms in the area on December 12th, 13th, or 14th. Everything should have been calm up until December 17th. But the last report in the book from December 15th read that the storm ended, sea calm, God is over all, is the quote from the book.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay, so there weren't any storms around that time. But
apparently
yet.
Not. But then again, you've got to question what the what the reporting is like in this. How did they know what the weather was going to be? Was my response to that. I guess they generally know what the storms are in the area. Mm. You know, the mainland isn't that far away, so I guess they'd know.
Yeah, it seen. Some, if there's a lighthouse there, then it's clearly a route that's used by boats.
Yeah.
So any sailors making dock on the mainland would have said, oh, we went through a storm or the storm's out there. Yeah, and you might be able to see big storms.
It would have to be
just a few miles out.
It would have to be an incredibly localized storm, which would be weird if what they said is true, that they haven't seen a storm like this in 20 years.
Exactly.
So it's weird.
This reminds me of, have you ever read Bram Stoker's Dracula and the whole ship, the Demeter, where they find the logbook of the dead captain and the crew's all vanished. And it says stuff like this, this raging storm localized to the ship. And obviously the storm has been created by Dracula. And he's picked off the crew one by one. And all that's left is the logbook.
That sounds that sounds similar to, what is that? Mary Celeste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All these things.
Yeah. So, there are many theories as to what happened to them, but before we get into those, it's worth considering the history of the Flannan Isles. So, the Flannan Isles were named after St. Flannan, a preacher from the 7th century, and Elian Moore was the largest of this group, but despite this, had no permanent residence on the island, apart from sheep. There are sheep that live there.
Okay.
So I'm
guessing... Do they count as permanent residents, though? The local census?
Well, you know,
just like, name, you, address.
Nice. And herders from the mainland allegedly referred to it as the other country.
Oh.
Believing it to be a place touched by something paranormal.
Yeah.
Elian Moore had long elicited a sort of fearful reverence in its visitors. The main draw to the remote location was a chapel on the island built in the 13th century. And apparently, even those who never prayed there were apparently moved to worship while on the island.
That's a common thread.
Interesting.
One of them praying.
Yeah. Something.
One crying
this place.
And many considered the island to have an indefinable aura that could not be ignored.
So less specific.
Less specific. But people living on the nearby larger island of Lewis would tell tales of a group of little people who resided there, said to possess strange magical powers. Is that the Oompa Loompa child?
Oompa Loompa. Little people with magical powers. Basically the Scottish leprechauns.
Well, yeah, it could. Yeah. It was thought this could be, leprechauns or elves or pixies, that kind of thing, or fairies. Okay. And it was also said to be the home of giant birds, and islanders traveling to Elian Moor were said to use a strange dialect to communicate with the beings living there, which is strange.
It's all very peculiar.
It's not even that long ago, is it? Yeah. Not really.
But just over a century ago, yeah.
Yeah. A strange dialect that no one's heard of.
What I will say about a lot of these paranormal, that's interesting about the island, is I think a lot of these stories and rumours came out after this case
got publicity.
A lot of them, yeah. Though I couldn't find any early records of people believing this. Sure. I'll be honest right now.
that's a shame. But at the same time, I can believe that some of them might have existed before the lighthouse keepers went missing. Because obviously folk tales are everywhere, particularly about islands.
Yeah, and particularly deserted islands too.
Yeah, deserted islands, absolutely. Yeah. And of course...
I think definitely about the Flannan Isles, there were kind of these folk tales and folk myths surrounding them. Maybe not specific to Elian Moore, but...
Yeah.
And it has been claimed by many people since these disappearances that they've sighted both these strange beings and the birds, but most, if not all of them, vanish after you see them. You know, you just see them very briefly.
All the mysterious animals, mysterious creatures.
At the corner of your eye, yeah.
So that's like people that journey too close to the island, I think. You know, people have heard voices calling the names of Thomas Marshall, James Ducat, and Donald MacArthur. So it's, you know, I think since this came out, there's been an air of mystery surrounding this island.
This is good.
Yeah. Mm.
I like this.
However,
oh.
I'm sorry, Robin. I couldn't do your however justice.
Give it another go.
However.
There you go. Yeah.
I've got a rival.
Definitely not. Before we descend into wild paranormal speculation as to what happened to these men, let's examine some of the more rational explanations.
No, that's not. Let's leave it there. I like the suspense.
Okay. So there was an investigation that was carried out, and they found a promising lead.
Oh.
That over by the western landing platform on the island, there was damage from recent storms that reached as high as 200 feet above sea level.
Holy cow.
So I think there's a crane there that's used to pick up crates and stuff from the dock.
Okay.
And there was severe damage to this, basically.
Wow.
So there was some really fierce, sounds like there big was a waves proper, coming proper storm. In. Yeah,
yeah. So there is evidence that there was a proper storm there. And Robert Moorhead, I think that's how you pronounce his name.
M-U-I-R.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Classic well Scottish.
Done. Yeah.
Thank you. Superintendent of the Commissioners of Northern Lights, which is a cool thing to be name. Commissioner of. Commissioners of Northern Lights. And I guess it's a play on words because They're lighthouses.
In the north.
Yeah, northern lights. Yeah. But he wrote in his official report regarding the incident, "I am of the opinion that the most likely explanation of this disappearance of the men is that they had all gone down on the afternoon of Saturday, 15th of December, to the proximity of the West Landing to secure the box with the mooring ropes, etc., and that an unexpectedly large roller had come up on the island, and a large body of water going up higher than where they were, and coming down upon them had swept them away with resistless force."
So a wordy way of putting it.
Yeah,
it's a very wordy
I love the way they used to speak.
Yeah, the roller,
Victorian, a roller, Georgian times.
Do you mean a wave, mate?
Swept away with resistless force.
Type of wave.
Yes.
So basically, they braved the storm to secure these ropes to stop anything.
And they broke the rules because they were like, "Oh, we need all three of us to do this." Yeah.
Well, which they might well have done.
Yeah.
Might well.
But the fact that the coat was left, there was one coat left inside, suggests that the two had gone out, and the third guy, maybe with an October chair, maybe he was eating and he saw something happen from a window. I don't know. Was there a window in the kitchen overlooking the western dock?
Maybe two of them went down. He saw that they were in trouble.
Yeah, so he rushed out there without grabbing his coat and then got swept away as well.
Or they had a spare coat.
That is also a possibility.
That is true, actually. I hadn't considered that, but I think the fact that the coat is brought up kind of shows that they only had the one, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, also, you'd assume they might have a spare coat. Like, whatever visitor comes.
Being on a spaceship, just like, we have one spare spacesuit, guys. It's like, if two of you break in, one of you's dying. Sorry, guys.
That's true. Yeah. I'd never considered that. Yeah. I hope that they had considered that as well when they were drawing this up as a weird piece of evidence. Yeah. But there is, to answer that question, there is some theories as to how that might have come about.
Yeah.
So the theory that they were braving a storm to kind of secure their tools from getting blown away is supported by a recent finding by James Love, who discovered that Thomas Marshall was previously fined 5 shillings when his equipment was washed away during a huge gale.
Okay.
So perhaps, seeking to avoid another fine, he might have tried to secure their equipment with Ducat during a storm,
so it's their
and
fault.
They were both swept away as a result.
Right.
And he speculates that MacArthur was probably inside the lighthouse and maybe tried to warn them of a freak wave that was coming, so he ran out without his coat to warn them, and then he was possibly swept up in it as well.
Right.
So that's one theory.
It's very tragic if that's the case.
So this would explain why he left his post and he left his coat. However, it doesn't explain why all the doors were locked shut.
Oh, okay.
When they got to the island.
Also explains the chair being knocked over.
Yeah,
it in also a rush. Does.
But that, if you're in a rush, why would you lock the door behind
you? If you're in a rush, not take your coat and knock your chair over.
Yeah.
You don't lock the door, do you?
No. Because if you're going to take time to lock the door, you grab your coat as well, don't you?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is weird. And there's also the fact that the fact that the bodies were never found is also a bit strange.
Yeah.
They probably, like, it, yeah, it's...
They must have gone out to sea, right, if the bodies were never found.
Probably would have gone out to sea, but I think it's... I don't know. I find it weird that they never washed ashore anywhere. They were never found. But I guess that is possible.
I know, without studying the currents of that area, I can definitely... I think on all those kind of islands, waves that take debris from the shore will drag it out into the ocean.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of potluck whether it turns up again. And it would turn up in Ireland or something, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Get washed back by the Atlantic.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
But then there's also the fact that in the last log in the book, if you remember, was on December 15th.
Yes.
And that said that the storm had passed.
That is true.
Yes, good point.
So that would imply that there must have been another storm and this happened after that date.
Mm. Yeah.
Weird. But then also, if the storm had already passed, why would they wait until it had passed to secure these tools?
Yeah.
Because they were...
If he was worried about like losing the tools, and this theory hinges on the fact that they risked it to go outside.
Yeah, good point.
Then, but they thought the storm had passed, so they weren't really risking it. They were being sensible, maybe. The only way to reconcile two things is to say that they were waiting out, the storm passed, and they went out when the storm was clear to check they still had the tools and then to resecure anything that might not have been secure.
Yeah.
But then, all of a sudden, another storm just...
Mm.
And a massive one as well. To sweep all three out, it would have to be a really big one.
It would,
yeah.
Just unexpectedly, suddenly hit.
So I guess what we can say, though, is that there's enough reasonable doubt to make this still a bit strange. Mm.
Yeah.
So let's go on to another theory.
Ay, caramba.
So there is another theory that one of the keepers killed the others.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So allegedly, MacArthur was a volatile character. And there's always the theory that a fight could have, you know, broken out between the three men, perhaps near a cliff edge, and they all stumbled and fell to their deaths. However, there's no there's no indication that there was a struggle anywhere on the island. And there's no indication from the logbooks, at least, that there was tension. The tensions were high between the three men.
Except for the crying. I had a thought when you said it. This is going to get very dark very quickly.
Prayers.
But like three men alone on an island, maybe the big tough one had some fun with the smaller one, and that's why he was crying. And the other one was quiet because he realized what he'd done.
Interesting. Interesting. Possible. Yeah, maybe there. Maybe that is an indication that there were tensions between them. Tensions, I say.
Likely.
Yeah.
Or it could be that...
Amazing that you went straight there, though, Ron.
Yeah. I was thinking that could... Not that. That's probably not a reason why. But this, that had a fight and one of them killed the other two, could be a reason why the doors were locked. Locked possibly. On the way out. Right in the logbook. Oh, thank goodness the storm's passed. Filled that in. They could have died previously to that.
Ooh.
And then locked the doors... Yeah. Maybe in a hurry, left his coat or one of the others' coats.
Maybe.
So it would have to be who was keeping the logbook? Because it was his handwriting, right?
Well, it was MacArthur allegedly, right? Who was writing in the book.
The angry one.
So it has to be him. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Could have killed the other two and lied about it.
Yeah.
Mm. But there,
and
was
he
there,
disappeared himself.
Yeah, but was he would have needed a boat, right, to get off the island and not be discovered. So
he would have, yeah.
But the boat was still moored?
I think the boats are used in rotation. I don't think they actually had a boat to get off the island.
Oh.
I think the boats come and pick them up. And
Or
maybe then he dropped.
Presumably they would have had a dinghy, though, in case one of them fell into the water or something. Yeah,
I didn't find any information
on
find
that. Could have found a way to get off the island.
Yeah.
That is strange.
Or drowned, think of swim.
Yeah, try to swim to shore.
Yeah.
My foolproof plan.
Yeah.
But presumably there's no reason for them to get off the island, unless there is like a medical emergency, I guess. But they presumably
but they'd have to call in for help.
They must have had some kind of way.
A way of communicating with the outside world.
Yeah.
So following on from that theory, there's the idea that maybe, you know, it wasn't a straight up murder, but maybe one of the men, namely MacArthur, went insane and killed the other two men and then killed himself. And that gets around the kind of boat theory, because then he would have, you know, killed the other two, thrown their bodies into the sea, and then thrown himself into the sea.
Well, that'd be sad.
However, I personally find this even less believable, because there's no evidence that there was a fight that took place. There was no blood anywhere or anything. He would have had to have done a thorough cleaning job.
Or would he if he'd done it outside by the cliffs? The waves would have done all the cleaning for him.
Oh, that's very true. That is very true as well. So those are both possibilities.
Yeah.
However, and this is the big however.
The big however.
Sorry to say. I suspect a lot of these theories and the mysteries and stories surrounding this event were kind of embellished after it came out. Because a 2014 Freedom of Information Act request revealed that the Northern Lighthouse Board doesn't have these logbooks. They don't have these logbooks.
What?
And in fact, the logbooks haven't been seen since the 1901 inquest into this investigation.
Right.
And further, moreover, it's very unlikely that it was Thomas MacArthur who would be writing in the book, because that was the job of James Ducat, who was the person in charge of like all three of them.
Mm.
He was the principal keeper of the logbook.
Oh, right.
Right.
They also said that, you know, logbook entries aren't really like a diary. They just write what's necessary in them. They don't write any further details about the psychology of the crew or anything.
Yeah.
They just say, like,
unless
you know,
they felt like they needed
stormy
to.
Weather, ship passed over there. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There's very little evidence that these logbooks that, you know, the stories say
actually existed
at all.
Which means either they did exist the way the story says, in which case something really unusual happened. Mm. Or it was all a lie made up by some budding journalist wanting to spice up the story.
Mm, maybe.
Possibly.
Although, and not thinking that the logbooks actually conflict the evidence that they're putting forward.
Mm.
As in, these people may well have disappeared, and without having the logbook, it's a lot more likely that they did disappear in a storm, right? Because it takes out the bit where the storm has passed.
Right.
Yeah. If the logbook doesn't exist.
It's true. Right, just an easy way of ending the investigation.
But maybe a journalist could put that in and not really thinking about it, got the dates wrong of the journal entries.
Yeah,
possibly. Misreported.
They made it up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's no quotations from the inquest, I guess, from the logbooks?
I don't believe so, no.
Mm. I kind of really want to find out now.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. It is interesting. Also, this has been turned into a film this year, just
really?
FYI.
Really?
Starring Gerard Butler. We're not sponsored by them.
He is Scottish.
I think it came out a couple of months ago called The Vanished.
Is that what it's about?
Yeah, it's about this case. I think
that's a shame, because as you're telling me, I was just like, oh, that would make a really good film.
I watched
Gerard Butler movie.
I did.
Lighthouse Down.
Lighthouse Down.
It's just him running.
Hey, that was good.
Constant running. Yeah. Run to the boat.
With his weird Scottish-American accent. That's just neither one nor the other anymore.
I did watch the trailer, and it seemed to be taking a different kind of...
more supernatural leaning?
No, not supernatural, actually. Oh. More, it was... They appear to find... like a dead person on the beach with a crate of gold, and then they're like, people are going to come looking for it, and then it kind of turned into a bit of Home Alone by the looks of things, like they're defending the island from people.
So they did
from,
turn like, it into an action movie.
Pirates or that kind of thing.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it seemed a bit...
okay.
I'll
have a look at the trailer.
When I was researching this, I didn't really see that as a serious possibility, but I mean, that is another possibility, that they were kidnapped by pirates or something, maybe.
Or someone came onto the island and killed them.
Yeah.
But then you said no one comes onto the island.
Well,
apart from ship, well, of course.
Unless it was like a pirate or someone, you know, acting alone.
With their own boat.
Yeah.
Independently.
That's true.
Do I go on to the final theory? Which isn't really.
Oh, goodness. Another, however.
There's another one.
It isn't really a theory, but I'm just going to put it out there.
Oh, yeah. Wait for it.
Aliens.
My first thought when you started it was just like, aliens.
Yeah. I don't want
to
say aliens.
Drawn to a remote place with a light. Like, it's a big beacon.
Yes.
Aliens are like, what is that?
Maybe.
And they book them. And they can't understand their accents. So they don't know where to put them back. So they just leave them in the sea.
Oh, wow. Maybe. Yeah.
Or.
Where should we drop you off? On Alien Island. That was a terrible Scottish accent. I'm very sorry for all of
it's better than Jeroboam's thing.
Any offense. But yeah, that was the mystery of
that's
the final.
That's a fascinating mystery and really quite disturbing when you explore the different possibilities of what could have happened to them.
None of that good.
Yeah. Do you think it was just over-exaggerated and this was just an unfortunate, tragic case? Or do you think there was something sinister and paranormal going on?
It's tempting to agree with you that things were just embellished by the press, probably, or by the locals. Particularly, I wouldn't be surprised if family members embellish things a bit, because you don't want to think terrible thoughts about your about your relatives. You're like, oh no, my uncle didn't become a murderer and kill his two colleagues. He didn't go insane. They just all disappeared mysteriously.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and also it's easy to see why, isn't it? I mean, this is an isolated island on its own. People who live maybe near or close to it, it's easy to see how, you know, oh, don't go out there. That's where those three men mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah.
It can kind of become a more mysterious story than actually when you look into the facts of it.
This is an interesting example, though, because, of course, being a lighthouse keeper back then was a very dangerous job.
Yeah.
And it still is dangerous. Obviously, it's much safer now because of all the security procedures they have. And I think, generally speaking, the more isolated lighthouses are abandoned.
Well, this one has been automated since the 1970s.
There you go.
Yeah. Automation, stealing our jobs. stealing our incredibly dangerous jobs.
You know, I imagine that they probably went down to the shore to fix something up and were dragged into the sea.
Yeah.
And just the dates maybe in the log were wrong or embellished by the press, media.
Or they caught a kelpie. Ooh. And then they were dragged into the ocean to either live with the kelpies forever or to be eaten.
One of the latter.
Well, it depends on which story you go for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very good.
Well, yeah.
That's good.
What do you guys think? Listening at home or watching us on YouTube, please comment or give us a message on Twitter or at our email.
Indeed.
Speaking of your comments, have we got any comments this week?
Mm. We do.
We do. Ooh.
Yeah, so I've got a comment from our last podcast by Luna Flower, who says, love this podcast. It really does make my day whenever I get a notification about secrets from the bunker, stories from the bunker, but it's okay.
And a notification, I mean,
or any,
that's pretty good. That's a loyal following.
Or any of your videos. Each of you bring a unique element to the videos, working as a fanatics team, but I guess you mean fantastic. I hope so, anyway.
Are you just trying to ridicule this person, Alex?
I'm not, I'm sorry. being both logical yet entertaining, many ideas, something not many conspiracy channels do. You guys make conspiracies cool. Keep up the amazing work. Best wishes and love from A. Also, human cloning is real and Area 51 is a total front for something much bigger. P.S. Now, this is the question. What is your guys' favorite food?
Oh, whoa.
Okay, good, that's an unexpected turn. Well, firstly, thank you very much. Yeah. That's an incredible comment.
I hope you
continue to enjoy all our videos and keep the notifications coming. In terms of favorite food, anything?
Anything.
You can't say anything.
No, that's true. It's easy to say
your wrist is robot. This is Robot Robin. Classic Robot Robin. Oh, anything? I love human eating.
Electric. Give me oil.
Exactly.
Well, personally, I think Italian food's the best. Pasta.
Italian food.
Pasta.
Oh, I see. You're picking a type of food. That's okay. Just cheating, surely.
You said roast. Anything.
Okay. Potatoes, actually.
Potatoes.
Okay. Pretty much any form of potatoes is great.
Yeah. You can convert starch to energy. That's really...
That's impressive.
That's impressive.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
So yours is Italian, Martin? Not sure?
Probably Spanish Mediterranean. That kind of food. So tapas.
Writer. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Bit of tapas. Bit very killed
healthy.
Meat.
Very healthy.
Well, not so healthy, but... Yeah.
All
right. Not on the point of food, but on the point of notifications, you click the bell icon. If you're subscribed, bell icon under our videos, then you can get notifications so that you know when a video of ours is coming out.
Every single time your video goes live, yes, you'll get a notification.
Because currently it's about 10% of people. We get a little stat of how many people. It's about 10% of subscribers have that.
Oh, really?
Okay. Whereas let's get up to at least 25. Yeah. We can do that, surely.
See, 25%. That's interesting because that might actually explain, might be the answer to the comment that I've got. From this week's Mystery Files, which is you two looking at
Skinwalker Ranch.
Yep. Skinwalker Ranch, great video.
Which is an interesting topic. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. What was the comment?
Well, BGBG says the real mystery is you guys have 1.8 million subs and only 30k views. This is within the first 16-15 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got a point. And the notification bell icon might
be
really
a way
help.
To re-engage some of those subscribers for sure.
Yeah. That really help.
Definitely.
Yeah, and like as you say, with the big, I picked that one because it's relevant to our whole channel rename announcement. Because hopefully things will start to change. Mm. Thank you, YouTube.
Not passive aggressive or bitter. I've got a review. From Apple Podcasts. Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, smoothie done.
And this one's from Herb Schiller. And it says, love it, which is great. It says, I love the show. I live in the South Coast and drive quite often up north. So I always have a few old and new podcasts to listen to during my trips. It always makes it go so much quicker. However, in capital letters, one of the shows one day, in brackets, can't remember which one now, quite old and old one, some of you were coughing a lot on a microphone, which would make me jump a lot. Not ideal while traveling 70 miles an hour on the M3.
Whoa.
Almost killed me a few times.
Oh my goodness.
Which makes me think that you're government agents trying to kill people listening to conspiracy content on the internet.
Man, he's on
to my family, if I suddenly die or disappear, you know where to start looking. Anyway, love you guys. Keep it up. 5 stars.
5 stars.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Us trying to kill him.
Yeah. So
Allegedly.
Yeah. Don't pin it on us.
No, we didn't deliberately do it. Although he raises a good point about etiquette. Maybe we should make more effort to not sneeze, cough, and breathe heavily into the mic.
I know that sometimes when listening back, it can be that sometimes when we laugh, we need to remember to laugh out of shop. Sometimes laughing is
quite loud. No more loud laughing into the mics.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be unbearable. that should be cut, but probably won't be.
But no, it won't be.
But yeah, thank you very much for the
thank
review.
That's great.
And,
reviews on whatever platform you're listening to this on really help us. So please give us a review. it really does help. So thank you. And thank you to everyone who has reviewed already.
Yes, thank you. It really, really helps. I just have one quick comment to leave us on because it amused me.
Okay.
Which was on our video that went up at the weekend about Anastasia, the real mystery of Anastasia, the Romanovs. Mm. Everyone knows the story. Anastasia Thien commented saying, the awkwardness when your name is Anastasia.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Can't imagine what it's like living with a name that you share with a famous...
dead person.
Famous dead person. I wasn't going there particularly, but you know, like, a generally like famous person.
Yes. Mm.
You know, Alexander the Great. You know, how do I top that? You know?
Well.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, same thing, I guess.
I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous Robin and Martin?
Robin Hood. Probably.
Robin Hood, yeah. Yeah.
Martin... Clunes.
Luther King.
Alexander
Luther
the Great.
King. Luther King, that's cool.
Martin Luther King, actually. Yeah. Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Martin Clunes.
Martin Luther.
Yeah. Martin Luther.
Martin Martin.
Yeah, it's not that He's many, famous. Are there? It's not. Yeah. It's more like a 40-year-old electrician's name, let's be honest. But that's okay. I'm not bitter about my parents. That's fine. No one calls their kid Martin for a good reason. Yeah.
Marty. Oh, Marty McFly. Marty.
That's a nice name.
My parents are like, it's a strong name. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's rubbish.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I don't mind anymore. I don't mind. I've accepted it. It's fine. Let's move on.
Okay. Moving on. I've got some news to tell you.
Cool.
So, appropriately, I'm reading this piece of news off my phone, and this will become apparent why that's appropriate right now. And it's an article. No, it's an article about a company that have published their visualization of what humans will look like in the year 2100.
Ooh.
Because as we all know, organisms evolve. Obviously, there are some people who don't subscribe to the theory of evolution, but most of us do. And humans, like all creatures, are evolving constantly all the time, and our lifestyles have changed, or have influenced, the way that we are physically developing. For example, they already believe that humans have bigger bums than we did a couple of hundred years ago because we sit down a lot more.
That's
quick. That was quick, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also because we eat a lot more saturated fat.
I mean, that's...
do less
that may
exercise.
Not be to do with evolution, just people getting fat. But
we've evolved in 200 years to have bigger bums.
Mm. Yeah. Really? But a company has created a 3D model of a potential future human from the year 2100, who they call Mindy. And the characteristics, the main characteristics are, because it's only 100 years in the future, is a hunched back.
Oh.
In fact, anyone watching this video on YouTube will probably notice I'm a good example of Mindy right now. A hunched back.
Really straight now.
A clawed hand from holding phones.
No,
not like a claw, but like it's a regular hand, but it's just kind of a little.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
It's really weird.
But it looks a bit like, in fact, you know the way a lot of apes for climbing have like extended fingers?
Yeah.
And it's getting a little bit like that because they used to. We're used to holding.
I mean, naturally, when you hold your hands out, what does your hand look like? Because mine goes up slightly at the end, right?
Yeah, like we naturally kind of curve around a bit because
I'm already there.
Yeah, we're already there. Well, our hands are meant for. Well, I think this is what's interesting about this is that it's not really that we've evolved new limbs or anything. It's just that we've become slightly more exaggerated in certain ways that reflect modern society.
But is that an evolutionary advantage? Like, are more people mating who have those that hand? Is it because you're better at swiping on Tinder?
Well,
that's it. You're going to be born with hands like that curve round.
Well, here's the really freaky part that I didn't like at all. Our skulls will be thicker. And they think that our skulls will be thicker for two reasons. And this is why I think it's particularly plausible.
Hmm.
First, is that our skulls might get thicker to cope with the increased amounts of background radiation, microwaves that we're dealing with, particularly from phones, but also in general, from Wi-Fi being everywhere, from all kinds of electronic devices being wirelessly connected. And we know, because we've spoken about it before on the channel, about how technology is developing for everything to become wireless.
Mm.
So you think our bodies might respond to that by people's skulls getting thicker, so it protects our brains better from outside sources of radioactivity.
I feel like that is the only one that I feel is genuinely like shows the process of natural selection. I don't think it's going to happen by 2100.
Yeah, it seems a bit early.
This is going to be, you know, thousands of years, but at the very least.
Which point?
Yeah.
That would be the least of our worries.
but I can kind of see that because it's like people with thicker skulls are more resistant to, radiation and cancer and all that. So they have a better chance of surviving longer, I guess.
Yeah.
There
is another reason, though, that we might get thicker skulls. Because, as you can expect, our head size won't change.
We're getting stupider.
Yep, our brains will get smaller. And again, I can 100% believe this because already they know that humans are using less of their brains than they used to because we're not doing anything.
You don't need to really remember anything, right?
Yeah. We're sedentary. We don't need to learn basic survival skills, or rather, we don't need to retain basic survival skills because everything's, we're fine. We just live in houses. We don't do anything outside. And then, yeah, everything's there on the internet.
Yeah.
When was the last time you had to remember a phone number?
That's a very good question. I know my phone number, but that's it.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger and I used to know all my friends, like their home phone numbers.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Just like call them up without having to look. Now, I can't remember the last time. I know my number, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but that was just one example of what...
No, sure, yeah. I don't know anybody's number now.
Yeah, a long time to even remember my own license plate. Ages, they were like,
kept driving the wrong
car.
Went
for a hospital appointment. They were like, oh yeah, type in your license plate number so you don't have to. Yeah. Like the thing, I was like, I'm gonna have to go and have a look.
So
it's that memory. You just I had it for 6 months and crazy.
My memory is terrible these days, really bad, and it's definitely getting worse. And I sometimes think, oh, it's just getting older, getting stressed. But actually, it's probably just phones and technology stopping me ever needing to remember anything. But as a kind of addendum to that, there's a separate article published about animals and how they evolve. And there's one thing in particular that I thought was worth discussing because, firstly, they can't predict how animals are going to change, but animals are constantly evolving and they've witnessed it already, particularly because animals have such shorter lifespans. They have new generations at a much faster rate than humans, so it's easier to observe evolutionary change occurring in animals. Mm. And because animals are still wild, they are actually evolving to adapt to the changing environment. Now, what's the biggest influence on the changing environment?
Is it us?
It is. It's humans. So they anticipate, and I thought this was interesting, that animals will evolve in certain ways to react to the ways that humans are affecting the environment, and not just in kind of like climate change and deforestation, but simple things like they think birds will evolve, or certain birds will evolve beaks that can get into tin cans.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
really that interesting. Kind of
that's
thing.
That's depressing, isn't it?
It's very depressing. Yeah, and as the climate gets drier because of global warming, which is happening, whether or not you believe it's man-made, they think animals, particularly lizards, might evolve ways of like retaining moisture from the air.
Hmm.
And they're pretty convinced that plants will evolve, and this is freaky. So already they've observed certain trees walking over time. So, exactly. So over the lifespan of a tree, as its roots spread, it pursues water sources. Yeah, and obviously, water sources move, mainly because water will erode the ground and the rock, and therefore the path of whatever the water source is, whether it's a stream or a river, will move. And if it moves away, there are certain trees that they've measured them, and they've kind of migrated, because essentially in certain parts of the world, the tree's trunk just sits on top of the roots, and the roots are just on the surface level of the soil. So all the roots have to do is stop growing in one direction and grow in the other direction, and then the tree's trunk will slowly move. Mm. And over time, they notice this tree is walking towards the water. But they think that, especially as the climate changes, certain trees will adapt by walking at a faster rate.
Yes. That makes sense.
And of course, already we know that Venus flytraps exist.
True.
So as resources and rather nutrients in the ground become scarcer because plant life dies out as a result of global warming, they think more and more carnivorous trees will arise, and they may develop, or carnivorous plants, sorry, but particularly trees might develop methods not like giant Venus flytraps to trap a human, but poison darts or poison gases that they release. They just exude this gas. So if you're in the vicinity of a tree, you will die, and then you will rot on top of the roots and give the tree nutrients.
That is literally like Planet Earth saying, well, do you know what? If you're not going to help me, I'm going to develop an army to kill you.
Yeah.
It sounds very Brothers Grimm, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does a bit.
The forest is moving.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that idea. I hope that there's like one tree develops all those things. It's like these poison dart limbs and actually walking around.
Why do you hope like, that, Robin?
Because it would be cool. It'd be cool.
I don't know what it is about like moving, like walking trees, but that idea is freaks just so scary. That's really, really scary. Scary stuff.
Yeah,
That is.
I don't like it.
I'm not 100% sure about the timelines, but
no,
I think that's...
This projection for 2100, that sounds stupid, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. The things they say sound like reasonable predictions.
Yeah.
It's just surely that's in thousands and thousands of years as opposed to 80.
And also phones are and screens are such a modern invention, but who knows what it will be in 20, 30 years from now. And whether humans will just become more closely augmented with technology that actually we're not going to evolve anymore. We're just going to upgrade ourselves.
Yes. Quiz?
Yeah.
Let's do a quiz. Okay, it's time for a quiz.
Ooh.
Buzzers at the ready. Robin, what is your buzzer?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Nice.
Very
nice.
Oh, yep.
And Alex?
Well, I've gone for, since we're seeing the effects of climate change outside today, apparently 38 degrees, I've gone for Al Gore.
I am super duper cereal.
At least South Park's take on him.
I like that. That's nice. Good move.
Well, that's it. Ryan. Question number one.
Ooh,
okay.
Boris Johnson has become Prime Minister this week.
I'm in denial still, Martin.
He's become Prime Minister. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, it's happening, right? But what is his first name?
What? Oh, how did I not know this?
Precisely.
Well, unless it is.
Oh, nuts.
Cereal!
Is it Boris?
No.
Aww.
I don't know how you don't know this. Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. Haven't heard this. Yeah. I thought that's what his name was.
I just can't remember.
Good morning, Vietnam!
It's not something as ordinary as Alexander, is it?
It is Alexander.
It is Alexander.
Really?
That's what I said.
Oh, dear.
It's Alexander.
Because only he would choose Boris instead of Alexander, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's his middle name, isn't it? Boris.
Yeah. Defeffel.
Defeffel.
Yeah. That's so strange. Fair
enough. Okay. 1-0 to Robin.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Question number two. How many times more dog species are there than cat species? This is according to the kennel. It's according to the Kennel Club and UK figures.
Okay.
Okay.
How many times
how many
more?
Times?
Closest wins.
I'm going to say 5 times as many.
Okay. Ooh, I was going to go for 3.
It's 2.5.
Oh.
So well done, Robin.
Thank you.
211 dog breeds to 84 cat breeds, so it's roughly 2.5.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Is that because dogs are just easier to breed? You know, cats won't cooperate.
I think that people breed dogs more.
Yeah.
More, basically, don't they? Yeah.
In a big way, most cat breeds are the same, right?
So yeah, it kind of doesn't really matter.
They're roughly the same size, aren't they?
Yeah, the same shape. It's just the coats are different. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Whereas dogs like physically different.
Yeah.
Why don't they make a big cat? I mean, I know there are lions and that
tiger,
kind of
panther.
Okay. But I mean, like a massive household cat, but the size of a dog.
Yeah. There's some big tabby cats you can get. I used to have a tabby cat when I was younger. It's massive.
You get like Maine Coon cats and stuff.
Yeah, true.
Are quite big, but not that, like a Labrador, but a cat.
Great Dane sized cat.
And that could be pretty scary though, right?
Actually, yeah.
A Labrador, yeah. It'd be dangerous.
Maybe not.
Second thought,
talk yourselves out of that.
Let's not breathe this. Question number three.
Okay.
Why was Peppa Pig in the news this week?
Oh.
I vaguely remember seeing this actually, but I can't remember why.
Or to rephrase it, why was Peppa Pig a meme this week?
Super duper cereal.
Was it something to do with its age? Its age? The character of Peppa Pig?
No.
Okay. I don't know why I thought of that.
I don't know. Genuinely.
Not sure.
Yeah.
Can we have a clue?
Not really.
Give us a clue.
Okay.
I need to get some points, Martin.
It's not age, but it's something else about Peppa Pig that was unusual that someone found out.
Well, I don't know if this is what it was.
About the character specifically.
This is an older thing, so I don't know if this is... This might be why it's in the news, basically, but it might not be new news.
Yeah, my research.
Which is the fact that, she's got, two eyes.
Oh, no, not that.
In profile. That if you watch it in front, that meme where she's got four eyes. Yeah. Okay, it wasn't that.
It's not that. No, I'll let you guys know. Yeah. It was that a Google search showed that Peppa Pig was actually 7'1".
That was it. It was the height. Yeah,
what?
It wasn't the age. It was
7'1". Yeah.
I knew I'd seen it.
Is that real?
I'm sure it can't be. But it adds, Google had it down a seven for one. So a whole load of memes came out about Peppa Pig basically being able to knock you out.
That's terrifying. Yeah. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Whoa.
How big is Daddy Pig?
Still just a cartoon.
You know when she entered the room, though, wouldn't you?
You would.
With a head that big.
Exactly. Imagine her charging.
Just two eyes on the side.
Yeah.
stuff of nightmares.
Yeah.
Okay, question number four.
Okay. It's 2-0.
It's 2-0 still, okay. Yeah. How old, closest wins this one again, how old is Kim Jong-un?
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe you didn't think about that.
It's always a bad idea to go first with closest wins, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to say 43.
Okay.
Oh, I thought he was younger than that. I'm not going to be a dick and be like 42. No, I need some points. I'm going to say 35.
Ooh.
He is 35.
Is he?
He's 35. Oh, well done.
Thank you. Do I get a bonus point?
According to state records.
Bonus point for that?
No, that's just one point, but well done.
That does make sense. 43 was too old in retrospect. Yeah. He does look younger. Yeah.
He does. He does. Don't give him too much credit.
Yeah.
it's because he's big. The question number five. Who is the most prolific serial killer in American history?
Ooh.
Interesting.
Whoops.
Oh. Full movie.
H.H. Holmes?
No.
Darn it.
It could be, I mean, it might be someone really old, like from history that we just haven't heard of.
Modern history.
Is it?
Very old.
Is it just Ted Bundy?
No, it's not Ted
Bundy.
How many did Ted Bundy kill?
Like 40 something?
40.
Yeah, these are proven ones as well, by the way. It's not like some of them are like, I killed 2,000 people. So
You said Ted Bundy. I was going to say Ed Gein.
No, it's not.
Oh, really?
He didn't kill that many, actually.
Didn't he?
Oh, wait. Robin's had two guesses.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought we could keep going.
I've only had one guess.
Oh, were you going to give the answer? All right, I see. Yeah,
give it a guess. Is it Richard Ramirez?
No.
Oh,
but yeah, he's pretty bad. He didn't kill many either, actually.
Okay.
I mean, didn't kill many, for about in the teens.
Yeah.
No, it's a guy called Samuel Little.
Who is still alive
today, and they're investigating his murders even till today. Wow. So he has 63 victims confirmed, and 93 have been attributed to him.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Pretty grim.
What did he do? Was it like drive around the country? Or
yeah, this was mainly young women in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's weird that maybe it's just a gap in my knowledge, but I haven't even heard of him.
No,
he's not one of the well known ones.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because with that many victims, it's horrible. Mm.
Yeah, yeah,
that's horrible.
Anyway, moving on to something slightly more upbeat.
Okay.
Which Bronte sister wrote Wuthering Heights?
Oh darn it!
Emily Bronte.
Yes.
Oh. Darn it.
It's one or the other, isn't it? Is there three?
Yeah,
there's three
Bronte sisters.
There's three, but Emily and Charlotte are the key ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
Key ones.
The other one who's never quite
Charlotte Bronte wrote Jane Eyre.
Yes.
Bonus point?
No. A literature question there.
Very good.
I narrowed it down slightly there.
Yeah.
Okay, number seven. Tool.
Tool?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
In which country is this year's Rugby World Cup being held?
I don't know.
I love the rugby questions.
Is it Japan?
It's Japan.
Oh, yes.
What? Well done.
Wow.
That's good. Because there's Rugby World Cup this year, and then, of course, the Olympics next year.
Yeah, they got the double win.
Tokyo.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Good on Japan.
Their opening ceremony is going to be insane, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be good.
I mean, we had the 2012 Olympics and then the 2015?
2012. 2012 Olympics.
So yeah, the World Cup. Then we had the World Cup.
Oh, the Rugby World Cup, 2015.
Yeah.
I went to the opening game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then
It was good. It was England versus Fiji.
Yeah.
And then I went to
England's best performance?
No, that World Cup wasn't in general. We tried to forget about that.
Yeah.
and then I went to a game the next day as well. France versus Italy.
That was a better game, actually.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. It was all right.
Of course, the atmosphere was insane, the best game. All involved Scotland.
Mm. I can't really contribute to this.
Not
in that World Cup, they were the best.
They were the best.
They were.
Oh yeah, they got to the quarterfinal, yeah. semi-final. They lost horribly to Australia, as in it was a horrible refereeing decision that lost.
Yeah,
to
cause it shouldn't have happened. Yeah.
Anyway,
injustice.
Moving on. No, our audience do not care about rugby. That's exactly why I put those questions. Number eight. Complete the proverb. A fool says what he knows. A wise man...
says nothing.
No.
Darn it.
A fool says what he knows. A wise man.
Oh, I know what it is.
Is it asks what he doesn't?
No.
Can I have another guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Knows what he says?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A fool says what he knows. Obvious, a wise man knows what he says. Yeah, just flipping it around. Yeah. Which is quite a proverb.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to do that, like, says what he knows, asks what he doesn't.
Because it makes sense. Is it Shakespeare who said that whole, like, a fool knows not that he knows not?
A fool knows not that he knows not. Yeah. That makes sense.
And a wise man knows that he knows not. Yeah. Yeah, all in between. It's all very confusing.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
So that's close, though. That's 4-2.
4-2.
Oh, yeah, it is 4-2, yeah.
With two questions left. Oh, Alex, you got some
serious... He can pull it back. I believe in you, Alex.
And also, this question is worth 3 points.
What?
There are three different answers.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm going to give you a chance to answer one for 1 point each. So whoever goes first answers one, then the other, until you get all the answers. There's three of them. Okay.
Right, okay.
What are the three most common elements in the Milky Way?
Ooh.
Okay, Robin, what's the first guess?
Hydrogen.
Hydrogen's number one. 739,000 parts per million.
Wow.
Carbon?
Carbon is not.
What?
Oh,
back to you, Robin.
Interesting.
This is.
Ooh.
This is terrible.
Ooh. Nitrogen?
Nope.
Oh.
So hydrogen is number one.
Number one by some distance.
Outside guess. No, I'm not even going to say that. Is it oxygen?
Yeah. Oxygen is number three. Well done.
Oh, right.
One all.
I wasn't going to say that.
There's
helium.
One more to go. Helium is number two.
That's what I was actually going to say. I'm not just saying that.
Okay. I was going to say oxygen. That's really interesting.
So helium. Yeah. So oxygen is 10,400. Parts per million.
Right, obviously that's still a lot less than hydrogen.
It's 240,000.
Interesting.
So hydrogen way out. Helium's significant, and oxygen's only about an 80th of the hydrogen in the Milky Way.
That's surprising. Yeah.
So that is 6-3.
Yes.
4-2 before.
Yes.
6-3. Yeah.
Yes.
2-1 of that.
Yeah. Wait. Oh yeah, you got 2 points there. Yeah. Oh, this is terrible. Sorry. Why have you done this?
There's still
why
time for you to come back. There's still time for you to come back.
There's one question left. Which is worth 7 points.
10 points. 7 points.
No, it's worth 1 point. I'm sorry, Alex. Okay. Question number 10. What was the biggest empire in the history of the world?
Ooh.
Oh, this is where Member Pig is. I'm cereal.
The biggest empire.
Ooh.
I'm going to guess the Mongolian Empire.
No, I think that's number two.
Ah.
That was going to be my guess. So now I'm stumped.
Well, there's... Because the other one I was going to guess.
The other one
was like, no, that's a trick.
This is a trick question, right? So I'll say it. The British Empire.
Correct.
Because we had a quarter of landmass, right? Is that? Or a quarter of the world's population?
23% of the world's population. Wow. 13 million square miles.
That's crazy. Wow. And every single continent, we had a little bit. Mm. A little bit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's going to come back. It's going to come back now. It's all going to...
Yeah, that's how this works, right?
Hopefully. Robin, congratulations.
Thank
you. That was comprehensive in the end.
Well played.
Very good. We'll have the bonus question if you want it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So earlier on, I managed to decipher a little bit of information from you.
Okay.
And I came up with this question. How many days are there between your birthdays?
Oh,
no!
That was good.
Very well done. That was slyly done. Yeah.
Yeah, that was slyly.
Problem is, I can't remember.
We have no idea what each other's birthday.
Yeah.
What's your star sign, Robin?
You tell me yours, and I might tell you mine.
Thing is, I have more. I think you're going to know where my star sign is in the calendar, and I don't know where star signs are. In the calendar, so I don't think it's even going to help.
I think you'll know mine.
Yeah.
I think I do know when your birthday
is. So when your birthday
is it closest
on,
wins?
And your birthday... Yeah. Or what we could
days.
Do is you could go
days.
3, 2, 1, tell each other the date and then see who gets it first.
Nah.
That could be quite fun.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to give
unless,
it a go?
I like
it
the mystery.
Unless
the
you're
mystery.
Chicken.
And see if someone at home, because they don't have your birthdays, are probably.
Yeah.
So you could do it and then see if who gets it first.
Mm. I'm going to say there are 63 days.
Okay.
If you want to, you know, be I like guess. That, that's fine. I'm going to say 64. Because there's
days.
Statistically
okay.
more likely.
One of you is correct.
That is
one of you is correct.
What is it?
It's 88 days.
Oh, 88 okay. days.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
Or 89. Right. I can't remember which
Fair enough.
Our birthdays are closer than I thought they were, actually.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks. A couple of weeks.
Does that kind of a baiting for a present kind of thing?
Just saying, you know.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, great quiz, Martin. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for that.
Yep. No. I won't well mention done. The fact that I won. And thank you for listening. Let us know your scores in the comments below on whatever platform you're listening to us. And
if you got that last question right, then I'm actually a bit worried.
Yeah, that's
how did
impressive
you know that
if that's the case.
You could have been close, though. You could
yeah,
could
have been an educated guess, yeah. And Martin will have a special topic for our Patreon
I will.
Supporters.
I'm going to be talking about Columbine over on Patreon,
ooh,
which I know some of you will be interested in.
Yeah.
So if you haven't signed up, do. We'll be talking about it and it will be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.